What I'm about to do over this next 5-6 Sundays is I'm about to teach a series called I Am So Loved. Say it with me. I am so loved. Y'all got to be louder than that. Yeah, y'all want the mic? Say it with me. I am so loved. You need to know that. You need to know how much the Father loves you. The reason why is because love has to be cycled. You can't love yourself until you know how much he loves you. You can't love others until you know how much he loves you. So what I'm going to do for the next 5 or 6 Sundays, but period, for the next couple years, I'm going to drill into the members, to the people who listen to Divine Generations messages, I am going to drill into their head how much the Father loves you. You need to know that. How much the Father loves you. He loves us. And it was his love. The Bible said that perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. So you have to be perfected in his love. And that love should bring you to a place where you no longer fear anything, including loving others, including loving yourself. We try to love others before we love ourselves. All right, let's get into the message for today. So the first message in this series is called His First Love. His First Love. Now, I'm not going to leave you any type of suspense. I'm not going to leave you in any suspense. I'm not going to wait till I get to midway through the message for you can understand what I'm talking about. The title of this message is His First Love. Now, God's first love is being a father. You hear me? God's first love is being a father. His first love is not being God. It is being a father. If he just wanted to be God, there would have been no need for him to send his son. If he just wanted to be God, there would be no reason for him to create the heavens and the earth. He was God in heaven all by himself. He was God with the angels. If he just wanted worshipers, there's no need to create heaven and earth. He had angels circling his throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy is God." So there's no need for him to create all of this to become a God to us. He wanted to be our Father. That's it. Y'all give me a little bit of cup of water, man. Y'all, I'm going to drink. Thank you, sir. So our first scripture is going to come from a familiar passage, John 3:16-17. And it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only," say only, "he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish." Will not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to really just teach from this scripture, and I'm going to take segments from this scripture, and I'm going to break each one down, all right? So I'm going to explain what "for God so loved the world" means. Then I'm going to explain that he gave his son. Then I'm going to explain to you what it means when it says "whosoever believes." Then we're going to go into "will not perish, but have eternal life." All right, y'all ready? Let's have some fun. Let's read verse 17 first. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through his son. So this scripture right here clarifies a lot. He did not send his son into the world to judge the world. He did not send his son into the world to identify what's wrong with us. He sent his son into the world that the world might be saved. The might is dependent on if we receive him or not. All right? Let's go. God gave his son. Now, this is important to understand that God gave his son. He did not give his son under earthly principles. He gave it under heavenly principles. So the Bible lets us know that God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap that. That is a heavenly principle that says whatever you put out there is going to come back to you. Whatever you plant, you will harvest. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap that. You're going to gather that. So when God gave his son, he was operating under his own law, which is the law of harvest. The law of harvest is a spiritual law that states whatever you sow, you will reap, or whatever you plant, you will harvest. It signifies that a seed has been planted with the intentions to harvest. So the father planted his son with intentions to what? Harvest. The scripture didn't say God so loved the world that he gave an angel. It didn't say that he so loved the world that he gave you a pastor. It didn't say that he so loved the world that he gave you a ministry to attend to. It didn't say that he so loved the world that he gave the Holy Spirit. He intentionally planted what he wanted to harvest. The embryonic content of the seed tells what the planter desires to harvest. Meaning, if I plant apple seeds, what am I trying to get? If I sow discord, what am I trying to get? If I sow money, what am I trying to get? That's why the scripture says, if you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall other men give into your bosom. That is a law, a spiritual law that applies to everything that you distribute. And so when God gave his son, he had a plan in mind. He didn't want church members. He didn't want us packed places to sing Jesus on the Main Line. That's not what he wanted. He wanted children. Children that he could love. Children that he could raise. Children that he could nurture. That was his whole intentions. This whole Bible thing exists for the purpose of God wanting to be a father. All right. His son is the seed. Did you give me this scripture? Let me read this scripture. We forgot to write it down. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 15. Now, his son is the seed, right? That's what he gave, right? He gave his son. Galatians 3 and 15 says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls it. He's talking about the covenant that he made with Abraham, or added unto it. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He did not say, and to seeds, as to many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. So Christ was the seed that he planted. His son was the seed. You got to prove it nowadays. Because some people think that the seed was the Holy Spirit. He didn't give us the Holy Spirit. He gave us his son. We need the Holy Spirit because we are his children. And we need to be developed because it is his presence. But he did not so love the world that he gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us his son. Now, this passage of scripture right here is a revelation that Paul got of something that he read that in which God spoke to Abraham and told Abraham he would be a father of many nations, right? He told him that his seed would be numbered. It will be numerable. It will be many as the sand on the seashore, as the stars in the sky. Now, that was literally speaking to Abraham, but figuratively, according to the New Testament, he was letting us know that once he gave his son the seed, which is Christ, that seed would be in us. Now, this Greek word seed is the word sperm. It's the word sperm, sperma. So he's letting us know that that seed that I planted, my son, is my DNA. God so loved the world that he gave his son. He gave the seed. Y'all with me? All right. The seed was planted to reveal what? His desires to be a father. Like I told you before, he could have planted anything. He could have gave anything, but he gave what he desired to have, and that was children. Now, he gave his son so that whosoever believes. Now, he said believe, not just agree. We typically think that to believe means just to agree. He didn't give his son so we can say, oh, yeah, I agree that that happened. No, he gave his son so that whoever believes in him, it's a faith walk. It's a life. When he gave us his son and we accepted it, it made us right with him. That's why the scripture said that the just shall live by faith. That's why the scripture says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why the Bible says that we trust in the Lord with all our heart. That is what it means to believe. It's not a thing where it's a mental thing. It's a life thing. It's not a thing where I say, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe he died for my sins. And then you go home and do what you want to do. Watch this. If you gave your son, wouldn't someone have to give more than just believing to get what he wanted to give? Because upon believing, the Bible says this, that you would not perish and you will receive eternal life. It's a faith walk. It's about trusting in the Lord with all your heart, not leaning on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging him and him directing your path. That's the type of faith he's looking for. He's not looking for church attendance faith. He's not looking for a vocal faith. He's looking for a faith that you carry out in your walk. The Bible says that walk in the Spirit. The Bible says that you are not condemned. Those who are in Christ Jesus are not condemned. We always say that, don't we? You hear that all the time. That those who believe, those that are in Christ, are no longer condemned. But that's not the whole scripture. It says those who walk according to the Spirit are not condemned. Why? Because he gave his only begotten son. He didn't just give his son, he gave his only begotten son. Y'all with me? So that you will not perish. Why won't you perish? 1 Peter 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. So God so loved the world that he gave his son. His son was the seed. The scripture lets us know that you have been born again of seed. But the seed that you have been born again of is not perishable. Perishable means that it decays easily. It means that it dies. It's a mortal seed. It's perishable. Before you accepted this invitation from the Father, you were a mere mortal. When you received Christ, you became immortal. That's why you won't perish. Because the seed that is in you is imperishable, meaning that it cannot decay. It cannot wither. Meaning you don't make a mistake and just lose it. And it is the living and enduring word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things came into existence through the word. And then that word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw the glory of the Father. That is the whole purpose of this. And so that the word in which we were born through lives in our flesh, and we show forth the glory of the Father. But you will not perish because now you are God's child. And like I told you guys last week, and something I'm going to reiterate constantly, I'm going to intentionally be redundant about this. The Father, Jesus said in John 14 and 17, I would not leave you orphans. The Father, he didn't pull us out the orphanage to give us 6 weeks to grow up. He didn't pull us out the orphanage to test drive our life. The Bible said that we have been born again. So after you have been born again, you start at the infant stage. You don't give birth to a child and then give the child 5 years to get it right. You don't give birth to a child and give the child 10 years to get it right. If God can be that type of father, so can I. We've missed the mark with the love of God, with the God's fatherly love. We've totally missed the mark. We think he hates sin more than he loves us. We think that he has more love for the pulpit than he has for us. That he has more love for our church attendance than he has for us. That he cares more about what we wear to church than us. We have missed the mark. We don't feel his love. We don't even hear his love. We spend our entire Christian life walking on eggshells, wondering if we made a mistake. And as soon as we make a mistake, we live with that mistake for the next 6 to 8 months, worrying if he's still going to bless me. You know why we do that? Because we don't know him as a father. We know him as God, but we don't know him as a father. The scripture says, you have been born again, not of seed that is perishable, but imperishable. You don't have to do this over and over and over and over. You don't have to keep getting born again every time you come to church, every time you make a mistake. You don't lose the seed. He intentionally did that. The only reason grace exists is so you can grow up. The only reason grace exists is so you can grow up. The issue becomes this, that we try to live by grace instead of grow in grace. We're supposed to live by faith and grow in grace. But even in grace, we have been taught that grace means this: unmerited favor or undeserved favor. We deserve grace. I know my children do. We deserve grace. We did not earn grace, but it is deserved. Because if we don't have grace, we can't grow up. If we don't have grace, if there is no grace, we are back under the law. Under the law, every time you made a mistake, God had to discipline. Under grace in Christ, every time you make a mistake, the Father looks at you like you're real immature. That immaturity is a suggestion to him that we need to spend more time together. It's a suggestion to him. The Bible says what sin did abound, grace did abound even more. The areas of my life that I am immature, the Father steps in and say, I need to spend more time with this boy. Or this, I need to send people to him to help him. He doesn't look at my sin and abandon me. If he can do that, I can do that to my children. Will not perish. But have eternal life. How many of y'all know, when does eternal life start? Say again. Eternal life starts when you are born again. Eternal life does not start when you die. I got the receipts. I'm about to pull them out in a second. I got the documentation. Eternal life does not start when you die. It starts when you are born again. You are born again into a life that is eternal. You are born again into an eternal relationship with your Father. That's why the seed is imperishable. John 17, 1 and 3. Jesus spoke these things. By the way, this is Jesus praying to the Father. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Who is Jesus talking to? Y'all gonna get louder than that. I appreciate that. I really do. He's talking to the Father. He's not talking to God. He's talking to his Father. Moses talked to God. Jesus talked to the Father. David danced before God. Jesus didn't dance before the Father. Abraham got word from God. Jesus was sent by his Father. No one in the Old Testament had the privilege of calling him Father. The whole purpose of the New Testament is that he becomes our what? Our Father. So we are supposed to live from that relationship. That's why Jesus said, pray to who? The disciples came to him. They said, teach us how to pray. Teach us, give us your personal prayer life. First thing comes out of his mouth is pray in this manner. Our Father. Jesus spoke a family language. Our Father. He had his times when he said my Father. Then he had his times when he said your Father. He said, our Father. When he met the woman at the well, he said, worship the Father. He didn't say worship God. It's a difference. When you worship God, you spend all your time telling him how great he is. When you worship the Father, you spend all your time asking him to impart his ways into you. There's a difference. Do you think when Jesus went to worship, he spent his time in worship telling God how great he was? As if he was so narcissistic. Y'all got to see how this look. You want to see how it look? Go get your child. Tell your child to stand in front of you and just tell you how great you are. And see all the power you get from that. As if God is in heaven saying, yeah, keep telling me. I don't know. I lack confidence. Hold on. We lack confidence. So we lack confidence and we tell him how great he is. When you do that, you never hear him tell you how great you are. Your ears are supposed to be tuned to heaven hearing the encouraging words of your Father. But most Christians never hear that. All they hear is how great he is. He know he great. All right. Verse 3, let me do verse 2 again. It says, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, talking about Jesus, that all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. So he wants to give eternal life. He don't want you to earn eternal life. He's giving it away. Watch this, because verse 3 defines eternal life. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Know who? Their Father. That's who he's having a conversation with. This is eternal life, that they may know you. That's one. The only true God. So he wants us to know our Father. Then he wants us to know that he's the only true God. There's other gods. That word true means the opposite of fictitious. There's other gods, but your Father is the only true one. Your Father is all seeing, all knowing, them other gods not. Your Father is all powerful. Those other gods not. He wants you to know this. This is eternal life. This is the relationship. This is the relationship that you enrolled yourself into. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the relationship that you went into. This is the relationship when the Bible talks about you growing into Christ. Growing into this understanding. Your Father is all seeing, all knowing, all powerful. How many of y'all believe that? Don't clap just yet, because I've got a question for you. Why you don't trust him? If he's all seeing, all knowing, all powerful, why don't you trust him? because you thought he was just God. You just seen him as God. And if he's just God, he can move when he wants to. You can pray and he might answer. But when he's your father, he has a responsibility to answer. And if he doesn't answer your prayer, you can't trust him. If you speak to God and he don't talk back to you, how can you trust him? So you have to know this, because when you talk to him, you have to be ready for an answer. It may be no, it may be wait, it may be yes. So he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, one, and that they may know that you are the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. So he wanted you to know the Father. Then he wanted you to know that he's the only true God. Then he wanted you to know the seed that was imparted in you. Along with that, he wanted you to understand the life. Jesus' tagline was what? I only do what my Father say. He wanted you to know Jesus Christ whom he has sent. He sent the sacrifice. Jesus deals with the humane part of him. Christ deals with the divine part of him. I sent my son in flesh. He died on the cross. When Jesus said it was finished, he was letting us know, Father, you can now have your children. I ain't done. Yeah, we forgot about this part, didn't we? God so loved the world that he did all of this. Now, he so loved the world. This was a love move. Now, typically, when we hear that God is love, we hear the word agape. Agape is who God is. God doesn't try to love. He is love. But right here, it's not the word agape. It ain't the word phileo. It ain't the word eros. It's the word agapoa, which is derived from the word agape. And what it is, it's agape in motion, Apostle. It's agape in motion. It is his unconditional love towards those that were hostile with him until they received that love and can love him back. Agapoa is his love towards his enemies with the intentions of making them like him so that they could love him back. That's why the scripture says God so loved the world. He's seen the condition of the world. This was towards the world. The world represents the systems that oppose his kingdom. So he so loved the world that he wanted them to be his sons. He wanted us to be his daughters. He looked at our condition and he could have wiped us out. But instead, he said, I want them to be my children. He gave his only son that he could become our father. That's why I say God so loved the world. Because before we accepted this, he wasn't our father. How do we know? Because he gave his only begotten son. Only means he had one child. God had one child. He was only father to Christ. He gave Christ so that he can become our father. That's love. But I want to share something else with you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when Jesus recites this scripture, you would think he was talking to his disciples. He wasn't. You would think he was talking to the masses. You would think he was talking to the crowds that was following him, but he wasn't. When Jesus spoke this word, when he gave this information away, he was talking to a Pharisee that came to visit him by night. He was talking to the religion, the church of that day. He wasn't talking to the Sadducees. He wasn't talking to the scribes. He wasn't talking to the Herodian government. He was talking to a teacher that came to him by night. The Bible says that Nicodemus, the ruler, he was a head honcho. He was a bishop. Came to Jesus and he said, I know you a teacher to come from God, because nobody can do these miracles that you do except that God be with him. And Jesus flips the conversation. He said, if you want to enter into the kingdom, you got to be born again. The man didn't ask him, what did it take to be born again? He cut right to the chase. The man came to him and said, I know you're a teacher. Your signs, your wonders, the stuff that you say, let me know that. Jesus said, if you want to see the kingdom, you got to be born again. Nicodemus went on to say, what I got to do? Enter into my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no. Look, forget that I said all that. You have to be born of the water and of the spirit to enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. After that, I'm skipping through the scriptures. After that, Nicodemus said, how can these things be so? Jesus said, hold on. Aren't you a bishop? And you don't know these things? Haven't you been pastoring for 40 years and you don't know these things? He said, if I tell you of earthly things and you don't understand, what you gonna do when I give you some divine revelation? Right now, I'm using the wind to give you an understanding of what it means to be born again. I'm using natural birth to give you an understanding of how my world works. What happens when I explain to you stuff that you can't see in your world? So this conversation, this scripture was to people who knew scripture. They knew the scripture. They knew the Bibles. Jesus said they were the official interpreters of the law. The Bible said they prayed. They walked around with prayer boxes on their arms. So they had some type of fellowship with God, but they didn't know him as a father. That was Nicodemus' problem. He did not know him as a father. He knew him as God. He knew his law. He knew the do's and the don'ts. But he didn't know the relationship. So Jesus had to tell him, bro, you need to be born again. You need to start at infant stage and get this thing. Why would he do that? Because that's his first love. His first love is to be a father. His first love is not praise and worship. His first love is not us singing songs to him. We intentionally waiting on the music. It's gonna come. We're gonna do all that. We might do an orchestra. But that ain't important right now. What needs to get into our souls, into our minds, into our hearts is that he is our Father. And he loves us. He loved us so much that he took the risk. Jesus could have had a Jeremiah ministry. He could have came here, gave his son, and nobody ever listened. He took the risk. I'm going to give my son, I'm going to plant him because I want to harvest children. That's why Jesus said, the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. Nobody wants to be on the other side of eternal life. Nobody wants to be a slave under God. I lived like that for years. I lived that life for years. Until I got to the point I was like, hold on, I need a different revelation. This ain't working for me. I lied not to you. I came to God and said, look, if this is what it is, take me now. How many of y'all know that when you were born again, you were made right with God? Okay, so if the goal was to get us to heaven, he could have took us then. We were right with him. So you mean to tell me he made us right with him, but then he wanted to see how many mistakes we can make before he allowed us in? Like I told you, if he wanted angels, if he wanted worshipers, he would have gave the angels as a sacrifice. His goal is not to get us to heaven. He can do that right now. That's easy, ain't it, Apostle? That's easy. To get us to heaven is easy. All he got to do is take our life and bring us to him. He wants sons and daughters mature in the earth. That's why we all have the ministry of reconciliation. In my closing, we all have the ministry of reconciliation. What is that ministry? Go tell somebody God wants to be your father. Don't walk up to him and tell him Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and if you don't answer that, you're going to go to hell. Don't do that. That's not the gospel. Ain't no good news about that. That ain't the gospel. Jesus did not die on the cross so that, no, he died on the cross because the Father wanted children. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The Bible said that he predestined us to adoption. This was his plan before he said, let there be light. Truth be told, that's the word of God. When the Bible said that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's not talking about the scriptures. You know how I know? Because, watch this, after Adam fell, we went to Abraham, change. Then we went to Noah. Then he wiped out the face of the planet. Then we went to Moses. Then he gave us the law. That's change. Then he went from a deliverer to another deliverer. Then from a deliverer to kings, then from kings to judges, then he was quiet. No, then from judges to prophets. Then he was quiet for 400 years. Then he sends his son. Ain't that change? Then we went from an Old Testament to a New Testament. So we went from the covenant with Adam to the covenant with Abraham, to the covenant with Noah, to the covenant with David. That's change. If Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever, it can't be through the scriptures. It has to be before the scriptures. God so loved the world. You can say it like this. God so loved the world that he wanted to be their father. We don't even need the rest of it. God so loved the world that he wanted to be their father. And whoever believed and walked that walk will have an eternal relationship with him. Hallelujah. Let us bow our head. Hallelujah.